Turn back in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. There's nothing more privileged than to preach about Jesus. Amen. And I like it. I like the what He's done for me. And that's what we talked about this morning, was the crossroads in life. That gospel crossroad that you come across in your life. And I can certainly remember that crossroad that God took me to, and showing me to a place that they were preaching the Word of God, and getting convicted over it, and just a few weeks later saving me. And I'm certainly count that a privilege. But to continue our little study on this gospel crossroads, we need to look at the resurrection. And we saw that this morning, the resurrection. But we need to think about what happened afterwards in Luke chapter 24. We have to, first of all, remember Jesus' promise that He made. The angels came and declared to the women who visited His tomb that He was alive. Jesus was alive. And encouraged them to remember what Jesus was trying to teach them about it. About His death and about His resurrection. That now the time came that He had risen from the grave and He was alive. So they have to remember the promises that Jesus made. And then confirming His own life that He had risen, Jesus appeared to a group of His disciples the evening of the day He rose and assured them that He was their Lord and He was alive. And then believing, even our day, that believing the Scripture's testimony about Jesus and who He was and what He did for us. Even throughout the Old Testament and into the New, how it was prophesied and proclaimed that Jesus would one day come and die and rise again and to save those who trust in Him. But question would be, when was a time you told a true story and that other people found it hard to believe? I don't know if you can remember a time in your life that you have told a true story and other people found it hard to believe. Maybe you had told someone that you'd got a good grade on a test. yeah, right. Sure, you know. Or maybe you got a new job with a raise. You know, knowing your character or something, there would maybe question that, or maybe the fact that you lost your job. You, of all people, would lose your job. Maybe they wouldn't believe that or found it hard to believe. Or just some information or that was so, in a way, juicy that people wouldn't believe it. Or who knows, maybe there was a time that you had told a true story and people found it hard to believe. But tonight I want to look at this, what Jesus is saying after the resurrection, that Jesus is alive. And it was totally true. It was totally true, but you know, it was hard for many, even His disciples and believers of that day, to really comprehend what was He really? Really, He did rise from the grave? But you know what? It's still true today. And some people still struggle with that. Some people would even still struggle to think that someone has came and lived and died and rose from the grave. How can that be? Luke chapter 24, if you're there, let's read some verses. And listen to the good news of the gospel. Now upon the beginning in verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Think of what kind of feelings or emotions that these women had as they walked to the tomb where Jesus had been buried. Maybe they were sad, or maybe they were just a little bit scared, or just reminiscing of the things that he said. Or maybe they were really determined, or maybe confused. They just wanted to go prepare this body and these offer some gratification or spices to them. They get there and the stone's rolled away, and they look in, the tomb is empty. It's empty. And what kind of thoughts and what kind of feelings would we have had in that situation? To think about if Jesus had waited until our time to come and our time to live and to go about and follow him around and listen to his teachings and have him tell us that he was going to die for our sins and rise again the third day, and we would stand there maybe perplexed at times and wonder, wow, you mean you're really going to rise from the dead? What would it take for us to believe that? Some of us would probably be more confused, or maybe even puzzled, or maybe even scared, or maybe thinking that something weird is going on here. How could it be? But they showed up at the tomb and it was empty. Are we at the wrong place? Maybe. Did we come to the right tomb? Did we take a wrong turn somewhere? Or maybe the anger built up, thinking that those Roman guards or the people in charge had done something with his body. What would we be thinking? But these angels had declared some good news. They said, don't look for the living among the dead. Huh? Jesus is not here. What do you mean? Jesus is risen. And it's just like that he told you it would happen. Do you remember? Verse 8, and they remembered his words. What could we write in the headlines of the newspaper about this Jesus dying and rising from the dead? Could we say that, would we say a crucified man's body has disappeared? King of the Jews missing from the grave. What were the headlines, or what could be the headlines of today? Or Jesus' followers were stunned, and the Roman officials suggest that some grave robbers showed up and took his body. Or the headline would read, He said he would return. And then it might say that this self-proclaimed Messiah was seen alive after death. But it was necessary to remind the women who went to the tomb about his death and his resurrection. Jesus' words had not registered with them. They were perplexed, it says. Lots of things that Jesus had taught his followers were not understood until sometime later. They were so focused on the events of his death, and that's all they could think of. Their Messiah was dead. You know, there are many things today in our own time that we live in that distract people. They distract people to take their attention away from the reality of what Jesus said and the reality of Jesus' resurrection. We can become so distracted. There are too many other things that crowd out Jesus in our lives. Is there not? I think about Easter. You know, sometimes we get so distracted on the Easter clothing and the Easter bunny and the Easter baskets with the Easter candy and the Easter eggs and things that can distract us from what really is that day about. It's about Jesus. It's about His resurrection. Amen. And things that distract us, believers, from the reality of what Jesus said in our lives today, our own daily responsibilities that we have and our own problems that we have. And sometimes we tend to focus too much on the material elements of our lives. And if we're not reading what His Word says, and we won't know what it says. Sometimes that fast pace of life can crowd out the time that we need to spend in God's Word. The life of a believer should reflect our belief that Jesus is alive. Amen. Our weekly worship that we have, our daily fellowship with Him, with His Word and prayer and telling others of the reality, inviting them to know Him, the involvement that we have in the local church ministry, the raising of our children, the helping of our grandchildren, to know the reality that there is a risen Savior. You're still in Luke chapter 24 there. Jump down to verse 36. And as they thus spake, listen how Jesus proves that He's not a ghost to them. And as they thus spake, verse 36, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. The disciples thought they were seeing a ghost, a spirit. They had seen Him die, did they not? The tomb was empty, was it not? But who knew how that had happened? They were still perplexed. And the whole series of events of that past week and taking such a dramatic turnaround that their minds were probably just in a state of confusion. What's going on? He's supposed to deliver us, not die. Hey, the door was locked to where they were at. The door was locked. How could anyone get in? He proved to them that He was not a spirit or a ghost. He indeed had a real risen body. Talking to them, showing them His hands and His feet with evidence of the wounds. allowing them to actually touch Him. I think of that song, He Touched Me. He was tangible. He ate food. What kind of gifts? Think about back to Easter. But what kind of gifts that we put in the Easter baskets for our kids? You know, the candy and the simple toys, the colored eggs, treats that they can enjoy. But think about the gifts that Jesus gave to His disciples, what they really needed. A declaration of peace. Did you see it? Peace be unto you. Verse 36. Peace for their troubled minds and peace for their troubled emotions. Proof of His not being a ghost. How He could have done that. His living presence is ultimately He gave them and He gave us and showed them resurrection life. The disciples and us too, we need God's peace. We need God's peace because of the events that surround us in our day and the events that surrounded them in their day. We also have those crazy events in our lives. Some of us can go through many different things, whether it's a troubled or in family relationship or a financial crisis or even just a little simple old church disagreement. The health crisis certainly pops up all the time. Loss of a loved one. Stress and pressure from the job. Learning to live with teenagers in the house. I had to throw that one in there. How many we got now? Jeez. Hey, aging parents to care for, family tragedies. You throw in the natural disasters. Come on, those hurricanes that we have. We need to know and have God's peace in all that time, do we not? And consider the reality of a risen Savior can indeed bring that peace in those situations. You see, it's that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives within us and works in our lives. That same power that God cared enough for us to allow His Son Jesus to go through this suffering and the separation so that we can have a personal relationship with Christ. Personal relationship with Christ. He also cares for us in the midst of those non-peaceful situations when we think He's so far away. He's interested in us. He's interested in the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave. He declares, "Peace be with you," there in verse 36. Verse 44, and He said unto them, "There, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Notice, Jesus referenced parts of the Old Testament. He said it was because of written in the law of Moses, and it was written in the prophets, and it was written in the Psalms concerning His death and resurrection. He showed that He had fulfilled all the specific prophecies. He was the Christ. He was the one that would have to suffer. He was the one that would rise from the dead on the third day. He was the one that can offer repentance and forgiveness of sins to all the people of the world. Jesus was the one. You know what? It's good news. The gospel is good news. Amen. It was important for Jesus to refer to those Old Testament scriptures, thinking that that's what all they probably had was just the Old Testament scriptures with them. He wanted to show them that he was fulfilling God's plan. It was God's plan for all this to happen, and not departing from it one iota. And he knew that they needed a scriptural foundation for the future task of communicating these truths to everyone that they would come in contact with. It's so funny that today we have such a better understanding because we have the whole story. We've got the whole story. Wow. We've got God's plan right here. He declares to them, you've become the first-hand eyewitnesses of these events. And it was important for them to have seen all this happen, to have seen it in person, because they were the ones that were going to have to go out and tell others. These events were supernatural in nature, and people in the future would question the reality of what happened. Did anybody really see that? It's people who had seen these things, touched his body, would be more believable. Jesus needed to connect these events through which they had lived with the meaning of what God had actually accomplished. He needed some eyewitness accounts. Sometimes when people tell stories, you have to make up your mind whether you believe it or not. You see, we were not eyewitnesses to these events, were we not? But we are qualified to be witnesses for Christ, because that is the faith principle, is it not? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We weren't there, amen, but we believe it. A personal relationship with a risen Savior, a true salvation experience. You see, we've seen the evidence of God at work in our lives. We've seen the evidence of God in the lives of friends and family. We've seen the evidence of God in nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. We've been through some things where we've experienced that peace that Jesus has offered. We've experienced the comfort and the strength that only He can give to you. And people ask you, how do you know He lives? And you say, He lives within my heart. Amen. Little tidbit here, they talks about in American literature, they have things called a tall tale. And it consists of a hero story, in a way. And it features a larger-than-life character. The character is bigger and stronger than most people. And even if the story is based on an actual person, exaggeration is put into it to make it more believable or unbelievable. And the hero usually faces a particular task and then resolves it in an unusual and sometimes humorous way. And the exaggerated details they put out of the story, it sometimes will add to the humor and the novelty of the tale, this tall tale that they tell. Some of the examples of tall tales in American literature are, you can think, I'm sure you know them, Paul Bunyan and the Blue Ox. You know that one. Pecos Bill. Or John Henry, the steel-driving man. Or how about Johnny Appleseed? And a typical exaggeration of one of these stories is Paul Bunyan pulling a ship through the English Channel. A ship that's so large that it scraped the sides, thus creating those white cliffs of Dover, they say. The tall tale format, it says, has been used in teaching creative writing to children. They imagine a scenario in which they can improvise on a normal situation, but exaggerate it and develop it into a tall tale. And it's always presumed that the listeners can tell the difference between a tall tale and a truthful account. But they say that there are some, and you'd probably agree, that there are some tall talers that can become very credible in their exaggerations. They can make a story seem so real. And some of the truthful accounts are hard to imagine. Maybe that was the dilemma that was faced by the apostles of that day when they heard the woman say, "He's risen." Was it a tall tale that they were telling, that Jesus had died and he rose from the grave? Was it truth? The answer became clear to them when he showed up on the scene. Said, "Hey, look at my hands. Look at my feet. Touch me. I'm here." As it became clear to them, I hope it becomes clear to us that there is a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.